Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio Advent 2015. My name is Brooke Taylor. I'm so glad you're here. Happy Advent to you. As the season of Christmas is now underway, feels nice, doesn't it? We have a jam-packed show today, too. We're going to talk about that and complete with some quantum physics we're going to throw in there, actually, because we want to jump into a little time machine together and travel to Bethlehem. I have some kind of innovative ways that we can do that, and you won't even miss supper, so that's nice. Also, Father Nathan Cromley is going to share some of his Advent secrets. We have a few fun gift ideas, a playlist for you this Christmas, some new tunes to maybe add to your Christmas favorites, and a lot more, a reflection, just a full show today. I also have a big celebratory thank you to offer right out of the gate, too. That is exactly how I felt. That's how I sounded when I logged on and saw the name Bauer Physics, another patron supporter to Good Things Radio, along with Georgia Jenny. Thank you so much, both of you. They are helping Good Things Radio continue by showing support via the Podbean Tip Jar program. That's basically what it is. It says if you like the show, if you enjoy what you hear, that you can say thanks and just offer a dollar a show or $10 a month to keep it going. There's no minimum. There's no maximum. It's super easy. And then in return, you are a Good Things Radio good friend, and you keep the show going. In addition, Bauer Physics and Georgia Jenny are going to receive prayer covering from our family, which they've already received. We're kicking in and doing that daily, and a shout out on the show. And I'm also going to be throwing in for this Christmas season. So if you sign up to be a Podbean good friend patron between now and Christmas, I'm also going to throw in the CD, Pray With Me, a Catholic Treasury of Family Prayers. And it's information like, why do we make the sign of the cross? Why do we say the prayers that we do? And not only are you able to learn the prayers like the Pater Noster, the Latin Our Father, but why we pray them. So they're historical, but also meditative as well. And we're going to throw those in right away, mail them out to Bauer Physics and Georgia Jenny for showing your support. Thank you so much. You can always find us if you go to Podbean. I have the app, which I'm really enjoying because you can find a lot of shows. Most people listen to Good Things Radio via the iTunes app and just hit subscribe. Also, if you have Podbean, you can search that, become a patron. That's how you do it. You can also sign up for our newsletter too. And to reach us there, it's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. As we begin the show, let's kick off with prayer, if you would join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, help us this Christmas season to light a candle in our hearts that will stay illuminated from the moment that we wake up through the day into the night, and that won't be snuffed out by stress or noise or distraction. Help us to keep our hearts and minds focused on that ever-burning candle as we focus on you, the light of the world in our days. For each listener, I pray a special blessing of peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
What's Christmas?
What's Christmas? Well, that's a very good question. There. Let's see if I can show you. Yeah. See that star up there? A real big one? Well, a long, long time ago, a star like that appeared in the sky. Except it was much, much bigger and much brighter. Now, lots of people saw it, but only a few people knew what it meant. Some shepherds, three kings, three wise men. And they followed that star a long, long way. They finally came to a manger. And you know what they found? A baby. Baby Jesus. And he was God's son. And God gave him to the world because he loved us. So Christmas is the baby Jesus' birthday.
Oh, I could hear the voice of Charles Ingalls all day. Ah, a real man. I love hearing his voice, and I love watching him over and over every episode. He's a classic. He's strong, humble, good character, and frankly, he has really good hair. I just loved his hair. Michael Landon. That particular episode of Little House on the Prairie is called Christmas at Plum Creek. Through the seasons, there have been different Christmas classic episodes, but that one really is worth sitting down as a family and taking in. Now, I'm not sure if it was that episode or another one, but there is one where Laura buys her mom a stove for Christmas. You think about the things that are on our Christmas list, and this was something the family really needed. And I remember she sold her beloved horse to Nellie to get this stove, but it was a tearjerker. And I think that there is a lesson in that. So, you know, I think that that would be a good movie pick. I know it's not necessarily the classic like Elf or Home Alone, but for me, there's just a lot in there, lessons about parenting, and particularly when we're walking through Advent, there's the beauty of candlelight. That's kind of random, but I just enjoy that, the conversations that they had with the fiddle going and the simplicity of that, you know, the beauty of the loft and the conversations that occurred there. And I know it's really easy to romanticize things, and it was not all roses. I saw the blizzard episode and everything else and everybody getting sick. But the takeaway for me is the sacred nature of the simplicity, and that atmosphere matters. Atmosphere matters. There's something instantly attractive because it, to me, is about a family that loves each other through thick and thin. And I think a lot of the modern shows you watch, and the bar is so low, and you kind of roll your eyes, and you know, they always kind of make the dad a goofball, and the mom's the one that has it all together. But this is one of those shows where you watch and it's a family model in the way that you want to be. You think, I need to take notes and how they handled that situation. How did Pa Ingalls handle that situation? Because there's such wisdom in it. And those are the shows that I love and I think that are good for our families. They demonstrate patience and family and unity and contentment. And I love the examples. The kids roll their eyes, but you know, when they have to get the eggs in and it's freezing cold, or all the things that they go through that our kids never have a clue in our first world society. So there's just, to me, and it's one of those two that's kind of funny. We always watch in the winter. When the season starts to change, we kind of go inward. And every year my kids are like, no, because I have boys. So they're less open to Little House on the Prairie. But over the years, it's been something that we watch again and again as a family. So this Advent season, my selection, at least in the litany of movies that you might watch as classics, from The Bells of St. Mary's or The Miracle on 34th Street, whatever it might be, It's a Wonderful Life, I want to add the Little House on the Prairie Christmas episodes. If you're looking for it, we have the box sets. We have a couple seasons. Now, I can't remember. There's a blue and a red box. The Ciccaronis, friends when I worked at the radio station, they gave me the, and I still have the box sets. They said, just keep them. But I know, Linda and Richard, if you're listening, one day I will get those back to you. And also your local library. You can go to Amazon too. So just a couple picks for Little House on the Prairie. And speaking of setting the atmosphere, this past weekend I had, boy, an amazing opportunity, privilege to go to St. Basil the Great Church. It's so fun to see different churches and the characters of, you know, and what I mean by that is kind of the spirit of the church when you go in. You know, every church kind of feels a different way. This church reminded me of an historic church in Rome. It's just gorgeous. Relics. It kind of has a Byzantine theme. But the point was that I was giving a talk about preparing the way, and a little bit of that referred to Christmas music, because you cannot turn on the radio station for 2 seconds, any station, if you have a scanned favorites on your radio, that you're not hearing a Christmas song. Most stations, if it's Christian or soft rock, they flip entirely or at least sprinkle it in. The hot AC stations do that. It's interesting working on the inside of the industry for the last 10 years of a format that specifically played Christmas music. You kind of get to see how it works. And even back as far as July, they're curating the playlist. And there's a lot of research that goes into that. And more of being the air personality and the creative heart and less of the corporate mind, I'm always interested in why that is. And I think it's pretty self-evident, but the bottom line is that Christmas music for most people, represents the best memories of their lives. And if it feels like you're hearing the same songs over and over again, you are. There's a lot of market research that goes into that. And understanding what songs trigger, you'll hear a lot of Holly Jolly Christmas, or It's the Best Time of the Year, you know, the classics that really have the staying powers. And it's just a neat thing because it has the ability, there's that time machine, to take us into a time machine. We all have a playlist of our life, whether it's a song that you hear Donny Osmond or Frank Sinatra or Milli Vanilli. I'm ashamed to say it brings me back when I hear that. It just is, because these songs kind of take us to where we were when we heard them. It's a psychological thing. I wanted to share that with you because some of the modern favorites can get lost in there. And there are some really good songs. And I wanted to just mention a few, cherry pick a few out of the crowd that I think really have an opportunity to become a prayer that can kind of add and enrich the Advent season. If you just, there again is that candlelight, turn the lights off and have a candle or a lantern. And whether it's you by yourself and you've got a hot chocolate or a coffee, or it's the entire family. And I know for us, it's hard to have the kids sit still. Even, and I'm not talking about just the little ones, even the older kids. But if there's something that comes in like music, that it has an effect, and maybe you only have 30 seconds of it, but it can offer the atmosphere, the ambiance that you want. So I wanted to just play a snippet of a few just to give you a little tease and what songs they are. And again, the lyrics are reflections in and of themselves. But the first one is kind of my yearly go-to. It's a song by Casting Crowns called While You Were Sleeping. Take a listen.
Oh, little town of Jerusalem, looks like another silent night. The Father gave His only Son, the way, the truth, the life had come, but there was no room for Him in the world He came to save.
Wrapped in dirty rags because there was no room for Him in the world He came to save. Wow. And that's just one lyric. What to me is so interesting about that song is that it challenges us too. There's two different versions of that song, but the one you want is about a 5-minute long version, and it includes the United States of America. So it speaks to our time and our place and what Christ's birth means to us today. Really, really good song. The whole album is fantastic, by the way. It's Casting Crowns, Peace on Earth. Another one is from the soundtrack of The Nativity Story, another great movie. The whole soundtrack is great. But this particular song is by Jill Phillips. It's called Labor of Love.
But the baby in the womb, He was the maker of the moon. He was the author of the fate that could make
of that song, to me, is that it focuses on the Virgin Mary. And so often the classics, as they should, focused on Christ or the angels, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. But I love songs that also take us into the full picture. And in this case, Our Lady. Now, the Augustine theology of this song might not mesh, because there's an idea, depending on what faith tradition that you are, that Mary did not have a difficult labor, that it wasn't a suffering. He just was born and came in this beautiful way that was a grace-filled unfolding. And this song, Labor of Love, says it was not a silent night. There were no midwives there, and really takes us into the grit of the evening in a very real way. But how can you beat a lyric that says the baby in her womb was the maker of the moon? That just to me is profound. So that's another good one. Also, Joseph gets a song on that same soundtrack. There's a song called Joseph's Lullaby, and that is by Mercy Me, but fantastic. Other great songs are Faith Hill, A Baby Changes Everything. That's in her CD, that Christmas CD where she's got a pink dress on. I can't remember the title, but that's another thumbs up to all of the songs in that one. So just to add a couple to your playlist there, if you're looking for something to build on and to kind of add to your family tradition and to contemplate. And of course, the Mary classics also, like Mary, Did You Know? And Breath of Heaven. That's another good one, too, for you.
Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Okay, so a little, just a little blurb about gifts now, because it's hard to stay away from that aspect, and I want to keep it serious and sacred and holy, but I have to mention some of these favorite things that have been kind of circulating lately that I would be remiss if I didn't just quickly mention. And by the way, I am amazed at how many people are done Christmas shopping already. If that's you, thumbs up, high five. I mean, I think that in and of itself is a gift, to be able to just rest easy, relax, and focus on Advent. My friend Tracy is a fantastic, faithful doer of this every year. She's just done by the time really Thanksgiving comes around. For us this year, it just wasn't possible. I probably have about $10 in our Christmas fund. And I just share that because, you know, every year is different. And I would love to say that we're done, but, and we did have a nest egg. I was like, oh, this is great. We're ahead. We're on budget. And then with, you know, as usual, some unexpected thing came up and that was depleted. But the beauty for me is that I'm not worried. I have such peace because, you know, when I was growing up, we may not have had shoes, but even now, if the kids get one or two things, they have really what they need. They have shoes, they have underwear, they have food, those basic necessities. We have a warm house, so I really don't feel stressed about it. And we're doing the 3-gift rule. So all the kids are getting 3 gifts. They've written that down. Oh, I made a note too. I wanted to share some of the things that they've written this year because you get to know a lot about your kids when they can only write down 3 things. What are the 3 things that you want? And they have to narrow it down. So here's what we have so far. Well, 1 year my son wanted a grappling hook, so that was different. That was different. That's where you throw it like to another building and then you climb like a spy. So that was that. We have a Darth Vader blanket and athletic wear, a gaming computer, underwear, a Fitbit Surge. In those technology things, you know, how do parents, those are expensive. I realize a lot of them are very practical, but that seems to be the thing. Whether it's a drone or a gadget, those things can really add up too. Wool socks, a pocket knife, and a Nerf gun. And it sounds like my boys are very violent. All these weapons, but they're really not. So that's what we have. And, you know, just basic things. We're going to, you know, try to get a few family items as well, and just try to get our family and relatives, because it's hard. You want to cover your teachers, the people in your life that you love and know that help, and your neighbors, your babysitters, your grandparents, and we're just letting the Holy Spirit do that. But those are just a few ideas. What I wanted to share with you, though, was for the ladies. I normally do not buy, especially lately that I've been home, I don't buy clothes really hardly at all. I just have the loungewear and my athletic wear, and that's about it. But if you are in the market for some new clothes, I have to mention this brand called DG2, and it stands for Diane Gilman. These are jeans, okay? And these things are award-winning. And normally, I would never consider spending over like $30 on a pair of jeans. But I bought these because we were going to go to Ireland and I needed something that I could wear in the plane. You know how it is when you're traveling and you want something that looks nice. You don't look frumpy. You look put together. It's flattering, but you can wear it and be super comfortable. So I went on Home Shopping Network and these jeans were so highly rated. I was like, I'll give it a try. And I am telling you, they have not disappointed. They're about $60. So that's why I'm saying it's kind of a Christmas splurge thing. At least it would be for us. But it's so well worth it. The elastic waist, and I know these sound like mom jeans, but I promise, trust me, they are not. But that to me is what makes it flattering, because some days I need a little give and then other days I'm feeling pretty good. But the elastic isn't obvious. It's not like maternity. It just kind of blends in and looks great. And they're stretchy enough where they feel super comfortable, but they don't look saggy. They're really fitted and lifting. And so I have some black jeans, but almost every one of her jeans have customer pick, highly rated, whatever. So I would say any of her stuff, whether you like boot cut or skinny, whatever you want, is a thumbs up there. So those are HSN, Diane Gilman, and it's DG2. I guess it's a different, I don't know that much, except that it's DG2. So there you go. Also, I wanted to mention, if you're looking for a Christmas gift, that we've got the Arise Good Things Radio Retreat. There are a few tickets left, and a friend of mine out of the blue emailed, and I have figured at this point that those who are supposed to go are going to go. And she said, I've been thinking about this. I've been praying about this for about 6 weeks. And she said, I'm going. I'm doing it. I feel called. I know God wants me there. So she's going just like that. And it could be a money thing. So if you've been waiting, maybe that would be a great thing to ask for Christmas. Again, the Arise Good Things Radio Retreat is the very first one ever. It includes workshops by Lisa Hendy from CatholicMom.com. Sarah Reinhart, she's the author of Hail Mary, Slowing Down with the Hail Mary, Word by Word, and a just amazing writer and blogger. Also, Andrea Singarella, she's doing a bookmark holy sacred craft that we're going to do. She's an amazing jewelry designer. So that all is with the price of your ticket. Plus Ben Walther, he's doing worship. And our retreat master is Father Nathan Cromley, a just great friend of the show. And it includes lodging, food, transportation from the airport, if you fly into Akron Canton Airport, the wonderful fellowship and all of the perks and swag and all the bonuses. And it's just about $400 for the entire weekend. So if you want more information, you can go to, it's an Eventbrite site. Just punch in Arise Good Things Radio Retreat. Also on our Facebook page, in our newsletter, and on our email, you can shoot us an email too at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And before we wrap up, I wanted to share with you a few of Father Nathan's secrets when it comes to Advent and making it holy, because I had a chance to spend the evening with him yesterday, and I had a pencil and paper taking notes because I wanted to share this with you. When he started talking, I was like, I have to tell everybody what his secrets are. And he says this because he travels across the country almost every single weekend of the entire year, speaking, leading retreats, being a part of the St. John Institute. And so as busy as he is, he said what works best for him is to escape mentally, spiritually, 7 times a day and go to heaven. And he said, the point is that he kind of takes his soul away from his body and into a state of being with the Lord, and to just rest his head on the heart of Jesus and take a deep breath. And that's it. And he said it sometimes only takes a minute, sometimes less than that. But 7 times a day, he stops, closes his eyes, and drifts off to heaven. Sounds doable. So I loved that. He also suggested for families this Advent to try to cut out sarcasm. And I thought that was really interesting because he said it actually can be really damaging. And he said, I've been in a lot of families lately where I'm seeing that. And maybe it's a tendency by one parent or one child, but it can actually be hurtful. And I think we've kind of all witnessed that, where it's a little bit awkward for whatever reason, you know, that's just kind of either the personality or coping mechanism. But he said, try to cut that out and try to be just more sincere. He said, Jesus wasn't sarcastic, and we don't want to try to speak that way if we can. Joking is always fine, but it's different than being sarcastic. I loved that tip. Also, he offered an idea about family spirituality. Well, this really could be anybody, an individual, but he said, adopt a poor sinner for Advent. And what that means is someone who is not a believer, someone who has really been a prodigal, really in need of prayer, and pray for them this entire Advent. You know, St. Therese the Little Flower did this, and she saw a story about a man that was condemned to death. She prayed so fervently for him. And before he was to receive the death penalty, just right beforehand, he kissed the cross. He repented. So even to explain that to the kids or to read that story ourselves again, I think is a powerful reminder of the gift of prayer for each other and what that can do. And then finally, he had a suggestion for parents to implement a decade and dessert. See, there's the dessert. Somehow we were going to get dessert in this Advent, and that's it. But what that is so that after you eat dinner, you pray a decade of the rosary. And it's only 10 beads, so even if you're busy or you've got a lot going on, it's still doable. And then you have dessert, and it lets your food settle, and you're able to pray, and you've got that prayer time in. So it's the sacred and the sweet at the same time. So thank you so much to Father Nathan for that fantastic advice. And I hope that's been helpful to you, as I am going to drift off and think about Little House on the Prairie and Pa Ingle's hair and the gift of simplicity and the love that the Lord brought into the world as Emmanuel, God with us. I hope that you've been blessed by today's episode. Thank you so much for being part of Good Things Radio. Every episode you're here, it means a lot. It's a blessing to be called community. And if you want Good Things Radio to continue, please consider becoming a GTR good friend. I'll post the information on the next newsletter that's coming out. Also, again, you can download that Podbean app. And it's funny with the feedback, because I feel like it's feast or famine. Sometimes I will get like 10 to 15 emails, and other times I'm not getting any. And I just figured that was a really terrible show. Nobody had any feedback. And that was the case the last show. I didn't get any feedback. So if you have anything to offer, especially when it comes to Advent or any guest ideas, any recipes, we always love to hear from you. So you can reach us at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Also, a quick reminder, if you like what you hear, please help us out by visiting iTunes and leave a review. If you haven't yet, if you're not sure how to do it, it's super easy. Just go to iTunes, click on reviews, add yours, and that will help the show out a lot. Thank you so much to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills and quick work as always. He's always got something brewing and going on. If you have any production needs, check him out. It is cumminghomestudios.com. And as we wrap up, let's finish the show in prayer today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Advent, the year of mercy, the Jubilee year of mercy, and what that means. The power of reconciliation is a gift. The power of the liturgical season is a gift. Every day, every breath. So we thank you. We ask you to create an atmosphere in our hearts and in our families that will bring you present, that you will be born in our lives every day, whether we're at the stoplight and we're praying, or whether we're in the middle of an argument and we just say, come, Lord Jesus. Help us always to count on you for all we do, especially as we draw near to you this Christmas season. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, thank you so much for listening to episode 33 of Good Things Radio, and may your Advent be holy and blessed. Thanks again for joining us. Until next time, God bless you.
This episode of Good Things Radio was produced by Mark Cumming at Cumming Home Studio, your solution for all audio and video needs. www.cumminghomestudio.com